Okay.
We're ready.
Okay. Thank you, Rabbi Finkelstein, for coming. You know, it's a big schuss every year that Rabbi Finkelstein comes with the shiur on a nice, quiet Friday. And, you know, Rabbi Finkelstein, this is the base medrash that he learned in. I think he used to sit over there. And so it's a big schuss for him to come with all the Talmidim here as well. So we'll say a short idea for Parshas Va'era, and then I guess we'll have questions and answers. Okay, Parshas Va'era, you know, has the Dal Lashon Shel Geula, etc. But then it says, Pasuk Ches, Ve'vesi Eschem El Oretz, Asher Nosasi Es Yodi, Nosei Sosa, L'Avram L'Yitzchak Yaakov, Nosati Oso Lachem, Morasha Ani Hashem. That Eretz Yisrael is an inheritance. Nasati oso lochem morasha ani Hashem. So if I would ask you, where else in the Torah does it say the word morasha? What would you tell me? Everyone go to camp morasha? No? Here in Parshas Va'era, it says, "V'nasati oso lachem morasha ani Hashem." So where else in Chumash does it say morasha? What? Right. So very good. What's your name?
Eitan.
Eitan what?
Charbat.
You're David Charbat. Related?
I mean, yeah, he's my cousin,
though. Okay. So it's good. So page 3, Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe Morasha Kihilas Yaakov. Okay, so we have twice in the Torah that it says Morasha, inheritance, by Eretz Yisrael and by the Torah. Now these things are usually pointed out, is quoted in the Balaturim. Look at the last page of the packet, on page 22. Morasha, you see? Beis b'mesorah. Words, there are two times that it says Morasha, that it's pointed out. Nasati oso lachem Morasha, by Eretz Yisrael. V'idach Moshe Morasha kihilas Yaakov. So what's the connection? The two Morashas. So says the Balaturim, Shebeschus ha-Torah Yarshu ha-Aretz. That beschus the Torah, we were Yorish Eretz Yisrael. That's what the Balaturim says, which is interesting.
What does
Yorish means that we inherit Eretz Yisrael. We got Eretz Yisrael as our land because we mekabel the Torah. Okay? Which is interesting because if you look on page 1 again, it says, Ve'vesi eschem el ha'aretz. I'm going to bring you in to Eretz Yisrael. Now, what's problematic with that pasuk? What's problematic? You know what's problematic? What's problematic? Let me ask you, is it true or not true?
Why is it not true?
Why is it not true? Why is it not true?
I don't know. I'm asking you.
Yeah. Why is it not true? So the Balat, the Orachaim HaKadosh says the reason why Lechora, at first glance, it wasn't true is because the people who went into Eretz Yisrael were not the people who left Mitzrayim. The people who left Mitzrayim died in the Midbar from 20 years and up, right? So when it says, I'm going to save you, Vitzalti Eschem, you know, Lakachti, all these things, and then it says, I'm going to bring you to Eretz Yisrael. So that promise, Lechora, wasn't kept. So what does it mean? Look in the Orach Chaim HaKadosh at the bottom. Kosher, ki divrei kel elyon devaro Torah. The words of Hashem are pure. But yet, ki yotzei Mitzrayim heman chanasim la'aretz. So it seemed to say that the people who went out of Mitzrayim are the people of Hevesi. But v'lo batzino shekein hoya el b'neim hevi shama. Aval kol dor yotzei Mitzrayim miben esrim shana naflu pigreim b'midbar. That all the people 20 years and up who went out of Mitzrayim died in the desert. So it's an unbelievable question. So what does it mean that Vayesi Eschem al Haaretz? So you know what he says? Look in the pasuk before, pasuk Zayin. It says, "Lakachti eschem li la'om, v'yisi lochem le'elokim, v'idatem ki ani Hashem alokeichem ha'motzi eschem mitachas sivlos Mitzrayim." Which means, "V'idatem ki ani Hashem." In other words, you have to believe in God. So that was a condition that they, if they fulfill "V'idatem ki ani Hashem," then ve'yisi eschem el ha'aretz. So over here, it was conditional. There was that was a fact. But then the fact that they go into Eretz Yisrael was only a promise if they fulfilled V'idatem ki ani Hashem. So it was conditional. Look on the fourth line in the Or Chaim HaKadosh on the right side of the page, on page 2. V'nireh ki mekor hachochma nitzchakei mekusha zu v'kodem omru v'hevesi eschem Omar v'idatem ki ani Hashem emotzi. Perish tnayu adover uvze ve'vesi. V'zu laze im tinatzu Hashem ein kan avtocha zu. But if you're not going to keep your side of the deal, then you know ve'vesi. So it's a similar thing what the Baal HaTurim was saying, that it's not an automatic Eretz Yisrael. You have to what? B'schus the Torah, then you go into Eretz Yisrael. Same thing over here. B'schus v'idatem ki ani Hashem, then ve'yveis yeschem el or. So it's not an absolute promise. It's a promise, conditional promise. Oh. But let me show you another idea that Eretz Yisrael and Torah are connected. In other words, Morasha is the connection between Torah and Eretz Yisrael. So the Baal HaTurim says, because the B'schus Torah, they got into Eretz Yisrael. There's another idea that found in the Sefer Marpel HaNefesh based on the Gemara in Brachas on page 4 on Hayamid Aleph. Look in the bottom. Tanya Reb Shimon ben Yochai Omer Sholosh Matonos Tovos Noson HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeYisrael. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Klal Yisrael 3 presents, 3 Matonos. But it's not automatic. Like we said before, Eretz Yisrael is not automatic. The Torah is not automatic. Yisurim, you have to work for it. And what are they? Torah, Eretz Yisrael, v'olam haba. Where it's Torah, you don't just get Torah on a silver platter. Eretz Yisrael, you have to work for it. And olam haba, also. So says the Marpel HaNefesh on page 5. The connection between Torah, Eretz Yisrael, Olam Haba, that they're called Morasha, is because Yerusha is something that comes by itself. Yerusha comes by itself. God forbid, somebody in the family dies, so people inherit. You don't have to do anything. You just have to be alive to inherit. There's nothing to do. But Marasha is not a Yerusha. It's a Marasha. Marasha means that you get it if you work for it. Torah, Eretz Yisrael, Omaha. And there's a beautiful Yerushalmi, and I want to just show you one Yerushalmi and one other Or Chaim HaKadosh, and that's and we'll finish with this part of this. Says the Yerushalmi on page 6, an unbelievable thing. Fourth line. Amar Rav Hoshaya Kol Mokom Shenemar Marasha Lashon Diha. That any time the word Marasha appears, it's diha. What does diha mean? Diha means it's dim, it's unclear, it's suffic, it's doubtful. So what does that mean? The Torah is doubtful? What does that mean, the Torah is doubtful? The Torah is called Morasha. Look, Hasivim, Laksiv, Morasha, Kehilas Yaakov. So what's the doubt? So you know what the doubt is? Amalei, Dia, Sugin, Mino, Mandu, Loi, Mishkach, Kula. Because when you first open up the Gemara, you don't know what it's talking about. Everything's a fog. But if you work at it, and you review, and you clarify, and you keep plugging at it, then it's clear. But it starts out as a fog. So Marosha, Eretz Yisrael, was it so easy for the Jewish people to get Eretz Yisrael? We know, we've been fighting for it forever. Eretz Yisrael, from the time of Yeshua till today. There's still doubts. And we have to work for it. And that's Marosha. Because Marosha, Lashon Safek, it's doubtful, it's unclear. But Loiba, if you work at it, Mishkach Chula, then you'll get it all. And, you know, there's a famous Gemara. One more thing I want to say. There's a famous Gemara in Nida. I'm sure you must have all heard it. Even though I don't know if most of you learned Masechta Nida. But this Gemara you all heard. You all heard of this Gemara. You want to look at it? On page 14, Lamed Amud Beis. So the Gemara begins saying, look at the first word on the line further down where I put the arrow, Elu. Elu Yarche Leida. The words, Umlamdim Oso Kol HaTorah Kula. This is talking about the child, the fetus in the womb of his mother, learns the whole Torah. But then, look at the end. First word on the line is V'chitema. V'kevin Shabba La'avir Ha'olam Ba Malach V'satro Alpiv. But once the child comes out, a mal comes and gives a little patch on its mouth, and he forgets it all. So the obvious question is, what's the point of teaching him the whole Torah if he's going to forget it all? So the Noam Elimelech, if you look later on page 15, explains that the point is that the fact that somebody, every Jew, at a certain point of his existence, when he was in his mother's womb, had the whole Torah, it shows that you have the capability, the potential, to have the whole Torah in you. Then it got lost because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us that we should work for it, and earn it, and get it. But you could say, I can't do it, it's not for me. It's beyond my capability. No, you once had it in all of you. So it is in your capability. But it has to come with what?
Work.
That's Morasha. It's not an easy thing. Eretz Yisrael doesn't just come by itself. How much toil and milchamos and all these things. Torah doesn't come by itself. But let me tell you one last thing and then we'll conclude this part. Look at the Pasuk in Balak on page 7. See, one could say, you know, if it comes with so much work and so much toil, you know, I don't want that. So look what he says. Lo ra hohibit oven biyakov the lo ra omal bi Yisrael. That there's no omal, there's no amelus in Klal Yisrael. Nobody's working hard. So what does that mean? So look at the Rechaim HaKadosh. Gam miskav lo mashat tzadikim hagam she'osim mitzvos v'chol iskom b'torah eina margishim she'ish lam omal al derech she'omru omal hu be'enai. In other words, if something you do in life you don't enjoy, so then it's like every second of it is like terrible. But if you learn to enjoy something, then you don't even realize the time is passing. Like my mother always says, if a person enjoys what he's doing in life, he doesn't work a day in his life. because you're enjoying it so much. So you don't even feel that you're working. So that's what Torah has to be about. That you have to enjoy, you have to learn the Torah and learn, and your Rebbe will present it in a way that it's so enjoyable that you won't even feel that there's so much, like, you know, you're so ecstatic with the Torah and you enjoy it so much, and you have to find that niche in Torah that you enjoy, because everyone has a chelek in Torah and everyone had it inside of him at one point. And then, even though it's a marasha and it comes with tremendous sweat and pain, but you're not even going to feel it. It's like someone has surgery and he's put out, so he doesn't even feel what's going on here. So you're going to be in such an ecstasy of that the Torah, that you're enjoying it so much, and you're not going to even feel that there's Yisurim here. And that's the way to go. And everyone has different types of Torah they like, different ways, but you go slowly. The key is to always go slow. Don't try to finish everything at once. Go slowly, like Rabbi Cohen, he usually speaks to you fellows, so I'll say all this from him. He always says that, you know, you get a piece of an ice cream cone, but someone is making you eat it in two minutes. So you're not going to enjoy it. The enjoyment comes from that slow, you know, lick it and you enjoy it, and that's where it comes from. You have the best meal in the world, a scrumptious steak or something like that, but you have to rush through it, you're not going to enjoy. And the key to learning is that the slowness. And go slow with understanding. Because if you don't understand what you're doing, of course you're not going to enjoy it. Then it's just, you don't understand. It doesn't mean anything. It's just like words. And, you know, so that's the key. That we have to have, Torah has to be b'simcha, Torah has to be b'amelis, but the type of amelis is b'lora omol, that we don't even see we're being omol. We love Eretz Yisrael so much, and we're doing so much for Eretz Yisrael, we don't realize how much we're doing. And that's morasha. Because it starts out as a suffix, loshon dia, and then, but you work, then you get everything. So that's Bez Hashem, what our goal should be. And if you feel that you're not at that, then you have to discuss it with your Rebbe and ask him, why am I not feeling this Simcha HaTorah? Because it's for everyone. Because all of you had the Malachim teach you Kol HaTorah Kulu, so it was all there. It was all there. So now we're relearning. But we all have it in the potential inside of us, like the Noam Elimelech says in his parish. Rav Shechter also has a piece from Rav Soloveitchik in the Sefer on this as well. Okay, so with that, I want to conclude the parsha part of the shiur, and then we could go and do other things.
We didn't have as much of a chance this year to go through questions, but time got me some questions I could ask. So I'll read off these questions, and while we're asking these questions, if you have any questions on the spot you want to ask Rav Simon, feel free. First question, for some reason there's always a question, what's with Jews and beards?
Right, okay. Right, so there is an Isser in the Torah to shave. Now, and some poskim permitted to use lecture shavers, some of them are good, some of them are not good, you have to ask a Shaila, but it was... You know, some Farshim point out it was a minhag of Avodah Zarah, that that's why the priest is called a galach, because he always shaved his beard. So it was, that was the way of the Akum, etc. So the Torah tells us to keep the beard. So the question is, the Chasam Sofer has a tshuva where he discusses what if you could shave with a powder or something like that. So then there's no Isser in the Torah. But is it still, this powder that you can burn off you don't want to use it, but that's the way people, and then there were hetayim given for electric shavers, not all electric shavers, but maybe some. And so the question, the Chasam Sofer says, even if you could get the hair off in a mutter way, is it there still an inyan to have a beard? So there's a question. Because the Chasam Sofer says that one of the Mekubalim, Ramam Upanu, maybe didn't have a beard. you know, they say, I think Rav Michal Sherkin has in the Sefer, he says that Megid Givol Solom, that Rav Moshe had his famous kula to matzeh certain electric shavas, so why wasn't it in the Igros Moshe? That's true. So he says the reason he never put it in the Sefer is because he really thinks the Jew should have a beard. You know, there could be some coolers here and there, but I think for you fellas, the main thing is, as long as you're going to do it in the right way, make sure that the shavy you use is halachically acceptable. You know, even if you won't have a beard, it'll be good.
All right, what's the problem with non-Jewish music? Listening, and also listening to women sing?
Right. So, right, the Gemara says in Gittin, and Avzayin Zimran Menolan the Osir Al Tismach Tzvel Al Gil Ba'amim. You know, a lot of things that are, you know, the Torah in general doesn't want us to live a life like other people who are not, you know, following its principles like the masses live their lives, and you know. And it's very important for what you see. There's a big yisod from the Shalach Hakadosh on Parshas Shoftim. He says, "Shoftim v'shotrim titei lacha b'chol sharecha," which means literally that you have police on every gate in the city. So he says, "No, you know what it also means? That every gate, every opening in your body, you have to have police." Meaning, you can't just put food in your mouth. You have to be particular what you put in your mouth, what goes into your eyes, what goes into your ears. Because ultimately, whatever goes into you is going to be who you are. It's going to be who you are. And if you want to be a person who is a ruchniyistic person, a spiritual person connected to God, and ultimately that's where the happiness lies in the connection to Ribon Shel Olam. So you have to make sure that what you put in, because what you put in is what you become. What you see is what you become. And Rabbi Bajnon once said from Rav Palm, from the Sefer, that the true simcha in life is the true simcha of Ruchnius, because that stays with you. The good steak that you ate is, it'll last for a half an hour and then it's gone. And therefore we have to be very careful of what we put in our eyes, what we see, what we listen to, what we put in our mouth, what we eat, because ultimately that's who we're going to become, what type of person we're going to be. Are we going to be just like an animal, you know, or are we going to be something higher than an animal? You know, a Ben Adam, a Yisrael, a spiritual person.
Does anybody want to ask a question that came to mind now?
The question is, what is the severity of Zera de Batala and watching that good stuff? And is it as big as a Nevera that was back then and now?
Okay.
Tips how to stop.
Right. So I would recommend, I have a shiur online on Zera de Batala, which it's like a 2-hour shiur. Maybe Rabbi Finkelstein can help you.
What? You want the shiur?
I gave the shiur, yeah.
It's listen to the shiur, yeah.
Yeah, and I feel the issue is like this, that many people of your age have issues of masturbation and things like that, and I think, you know, I'd say two things. Number one, you know, a lot of people get guilt trips because of that. They feel very, and I'm not saying it's something we should try to do, but it's something that once a person is of physical maturity to be attracted to a woman, etc., and he's at the stage of puberty in his life, and it was Dr. Breyer once said, but he's yet mature enough to have her get married, so this struggle is going to be there. It's going to be a natural thing, and it's going to happen. I mean, I'm not saying it has to happen. I'm not saying, but so I always tell, you know, young people that they should obviously try to avoid it, but they shouldn't feel a tremendous sense of guilt, and because it's something that's going to happen at that stage of their life, it could very well be that it's going to happen. But the main thing is not to what we said before, that if you aggravate it, meaning by looking at pornography or looking at things like that, so that, you know, is much more in your control. And that you have to make sure that you you don't do.
So
I'm not saying it's not. Everything is in your control, but a lot of times the taiva is going to be very, very great, especially at certain ages. And a lot of people, you know, have that. And you try your best not to, but you shouldn't become depressed over it. I once was a counselor in camp, and I noticed one day that this fella, he's not coming to lunch. He's not coming to lunch. I tried to find out why, and I spoke to him, why didn't you? And what happened was that he felt that he violated this thing, so he felt he needed to punish himself. And therefore he was not coming to lunch. So I think that's not healthy. In other words, you have to realize that you should try not to do these things, but you can make mistakes, especially at this age where you don't have an outlet of being married and having relations in that way. And therefore, it could very well happen. And, you know, the Svarim say to learn a little bit more, as the Torah being, that's how some Svarim write, as a kapara. But I think it's very unhealthy then to just become depressed and have this guilt feeling. But again, one thing you can control, even, I'm not saying you can't control this, but maybe not as much, but you should be able to control even more, not aggravating it by bringing into your eyes things that are inappropriate.
Like, how can you not feel guilty of it because it's such a big sin? It's like the same thing, worse severe in the Torah, or just like all the severity and this and this that happened. I heard at one point that you won't even get accepted in Eden, but like, and then it's not even,
right, because I'm telling you, if you're gonna torture yourself that way, in other words, the Yetzer Hara is very main thing that it's written in Svarim, wants to get people depressed. That is one of its main things. Because when you're depressed, you can't function. You can't learn, you can't daven, you can't be a normal person. And the Yetzer Hara wants to, you know, get the person. So the biggest chacham the Yetzer Hara is you know, I'm not going to tell you to, you know, to do something that'll make you feel depressed. Ral Shem Tov speaks about it, etc. So, you know, you have to, at this thing, you have to say, okay, it wasn't the right thing, but I'm going to learn a little bit more, and again, because at this point in your life, a lot of people are. You know, a lot of people think it's only them that's doing it, and they feel guilty. And no, it's not. Whoever the person is, a lot of people are doing it. And I'm not saying it should be done, but I'm also saying that sometimes it's very hard to control at this age. So the Ribbono Shel Olam realizes that. So instead of having the guilty conscience, the true you should do is by as the way the. I think this is from some of the Mefarshim say is to learn a little bit more and not skip meals or try to torture yourself that you feel you have to punish yourself.
You can try to stop it.
Yeah, but I'm saying that if sometimes
it gets to you
and you were not successful and you did violate, so you know you do tshuva. But you shouldn't like live with that guilty conscience on you, because that's gonna and cause depression and paralyze you, and that's going to be counterproductive.
Is there tips to stop?
So the main thing I think for people of your age is not to let these things in your eyes. Because a lot of times, you know, people aggravate it by looking in pornography, and that. You know, and then they have that thought in their mind.
It's not only from pornography,
but the thing that you can control more, but it'll be, you know, exacerbated if it's through pornography or things like that. So that, I mean, that you could have maybe more of a control over. But again, people make this mistake, and and it's something that's very hard. But as I said, I don't think the Eitzah is to give yourself this excessive guilt trip. And if you want to know more about the halachic angle, so speak to Rabbi Finkelstein. He'll show you on the computer where I gave a two-hour shiur on this topic.
I feel like it's the same taiva to lay on seed and watch porn. So like,
what?
I feel like it's the same taiva to watch porn and masturbate.
Yeah, but one causes the other in a certain sense. But that's the message that I want to impart about that particular thing.
Anybody else? Questions on the spot? Latano?
You said that for a baby inside of the mother with her for like all the questions here somewhere.
Yeah.
So how come the doctor's supposed to have this going?
So it never says Beferish in the Gemara that's why we, I mean, that's how we all grew up, that this is the thing. But it doesn't say that. The Gemara just says that it gives you a patch. It doesn't say that thing is, it doesn't say that specifically. That I don't know if that's on the books. That I know, I heard it also.
Anybody else?
Thanks.
Right.
And I just want to know, like, compared to, like, back then, a long time ago, is the Avera a bigger Avera or a lesser Avera? Because, like, well, there's a much bigger percentage of people who have this back then.
Right. In other words, a big Avera is to have relations with...
it's bigger than back then.
Well, I'm saying, in other words, if a Jewish woman who's single is an Ida, so that's a... And it's a chorus to be with.
Right.
So that perhaps that's
much worse than shiflas elavatala.
So that's worse than shiflas elavatala. So I think the postgame discussed this. We're not going to tell somebody to stop shiflas elavatala. I'd rather have relations with a woman. But as I told him. Like someone once said, these are normal things. You know, you're normal people. So the fact that you have a drive for a woman is a normal thing. But obviously, that doesn't make it mutter. It's usher, and you shouldn't do it. But it's a normal thing. It's that's all these people today that claim that they don't have any taiva for a woman, they don't have taivas for men, that's a very big problem. But this is a normal thing, and again, it has to be dealt with, and one should never, have relations with a woman before they're married. But if the other thing happens, that the zera comes out, so it's not something that is the right thing. But again, you have to realize that you're normal people, and at this age, this could happen. And the main thing is to try to curb it, whatever degree you can. But then to stop things that can incite it. And what you said, there could be other. You could even have it, even if you don't, because Stam, you're. You see people in the street, you have thoughts or whatever, those are normal thoughts, and the key is to just you learn a little bit more Torah and you keep on going with your life, but you don't sit and become depressed, because it's not productive, and Bez Hashem, like the Stipler writes, you get married, and hopefully, that'll be an outlet for this issue. But people don't always get married right away, and it takes time, and etc. But so you keep yourself, the famous Rambam. The Rambam says in the end of the Isuri Bia, the last Rambam, is that when your head is void, that's when these things come in. The more you learn Torah and you occupy yourself with other things, you stop these things from happening. The Hakdama of the Sefer Noam Megadim says, and the more you learn Be'ian and you think about what you're learning, so you stop these thoughts from coming. But once you have a void in your head, so that's the entrance to have all these other thoughts come in. So another Eitzah is that what the Noam Megadim says from the Rambam, is the Rambam says, Yachiv Libo B'Chochma, that you should involve yourself in Chochma. And the Noam Megadim says the Rambam means that to learn in depth and think about it, and then these things happen. But you have to realize at this point of your life, this is not an abnormal thing, and you know, and even though it's something very private, so you don't know what's doing by the other fellow, so you feel guilty about yourself. But that I think is something important to realize.
Anyone else have a couple more questions on paper? But anybody else think of a question now?
No, I have one more.
Shabbat.
One more. Is it better, like, you know, if you're at home someday, like you're bored and anything, it's worse to be bored because that's when all the thoughts come in. Should you just like watch TV instead?
You see, TV, I don't think is the answer here. TV could just swallow up your whole life. And today, they say that, you know, I'm not a computer person, but they say that it's much worse on a computer today than maybe even TV. You know, computers could.
Right.
So the good thing is the, you know, to learn or to something productive. Even to play basketball. Even to play basketball is better than to do something, you know, physical, to play basketball or something like that. That could be much more productive.
Weifer, what's wrong with playing sports on Shabbos?
Good question.
Right. So I'll tell you the two aspects to Shabbos. Shabbos has mitzvahs lo sase lametes melachos, right? And has mitzvahs esse, kiddush, suda Shabbos. But then the Ramban says in Parshas Emor that there's a concept of Shabboson, which means like this, that there's a certain atmosphere that has to come with Shabbos. The Ramban says like this, theoretically, you could be living in a walled city, okay? In a walled city, and you could go to the market, buy and sell, and have a regular day, and you wouldn't necessarily violate one malacha daraisa. And it can't be, says the Ramban, that that's okay with the Torah, and it's only the Rabbanon who are asering, you know, muktzah and all these things, because it's a Rishus HaYachid, it's a walled city. So you have to say that the Torah itself also has another element to it, besides technically whether this is a malacha or not, but rather, you know, is this the proper atmosphere conducive to having a spiritual day that Shabbos is supposed to be? So doing certain things on Shabbos, and ball is one of them, that could, you know, take away from that whole Shabboson, that whole mindset that's supposed to come along. And that is a din d'oraisa, says the Ramban. Even though the details of the particular muktzah might be a d'rabbanon, but the overarching concept is a d'oraisa.
I think the problem is they don't know what the full... they're not sitting and learning on Shabbos. That's the problem.
Right.
So then what? So play ball.
Right.
That's the problem.
That's the problem. Okay.
I have a couple more questions. I'll read a couple more. I'll give you time to think a little bit, and then we'll end. I'll just pick out the. Tzitzis. So, we don't wear four-corner garments. Why is it such a major thing to wear tzitzis if you're not wearing a four-corner garment anyway?
So technically speaking, from our wardrobe today does not have a chiv tzitzis because we don't have four-corner garments. Rav Moshe Feinstein writes in one of his truvas that the idea of having to wear a four-quarter garment has the status of a minug. That became the minug. So in other words, you know, when you're in elementary school, it's a big thing. You're wearing tzitzis, not wearing tzitzis. Why are they making such a big deal? Why are they making such a big deal? I have no chiv to wear tzitzis. Tefillin, I have a chiv to wear tefillin. There's no way out of tefillin. You got to wear tefillin. Your whole life, you got to wear tefillin. But tzitzis, mechitesi. But it became a minug, and it's binding, just like minhagim are binding, says Rav Moshe Feinstein. But tzitzis has the overarching idea of the Tariq mitzvahs. It's about Yirah Shamayim brings, you know, you look at the Tcheles, even if we don't have Tcheles today or whatever, it reminds us that we're connected to God. It's something that stops us, the Gemara says in Menachas, from sinning, that if a fellow was going to commit a sin with a woman and then he saw the tzitzis and he didn't, you know, it's something that, and the minhag defined, you know, a lot of things we do are minhagim. A lot of things we do are minhagim. And you know, and a minhag is a very powerful thing, and tzitzis became a minhag, and the reason for this, as we said before, is it has all those elements of the tariq mitzvahs, of shmira, of all these things. In fact, there's an interesting Eben Ezra in Parsha Shlach. Eben Ezra says, if it would be up to him, he would have people wear their talis during the day, not during davening, because during davening you're in shul, so you're thinking about Hashem. You really should be wearing it the rest of the day when you're not sure. Okay, but that's not the minhag. But that's the importance of tzitzis.
You still get a mitzvah every second, right?
You still get a mitzvah, yeah.
What about playing ball? Is it okay to take it off then?
Yeah, there's some who will take it off when they play. I think Rabbi Willick in camp used to take it off. Right, so you should focus. You know, the Gemara says, "Umnas kalo nakia." Do something that that's not going to take over your whole life, so you could have, you know, time at home with your family. You know, that you're not in the office the whole day, and if it could be something that's fulfilling also to you, that's even better. But just time, you know, it's something that you still have a life as. As a husband, as a father, you know, you shouldn't be a person that the kids never see their father, and the kids, the wife never sees her husband. You know, you have people like that, and you know, so something that has reasonable hours, so you can have a, because that's all the problems. You know, so many problems in life are because children didn't have a good upbringing. They didn't have good relationships with their parents when they were young, and all these things, and that causes problems down the road 50 years later. So you want to be a good father, a good husband, you pick a job where you won't be an absentee father.
Anybody else? Going once? Ike.
Keeper. So keeper, the Gemara says in Kedushin, Kasei Reshach Dehem Mor Shalayim Alecha. In other words, it represents Yirah Shamayim, that there's something on top of you. And there's a discussion in the Poskim whether people used to wear yarmulkes, was yarmulkes only B'Shas HaTefillah or not B'Shas, but the idea of a yarmulke in general is for Yirah Shamayim, that there's something on top of you that's hovering over you, and that's the put you in that mode of Yirah Shamayim.
Anybody else? That's it. All right. Thank you very much, Rabbi Simon.
Okay.
We'll take a picture. Come behind. We'll take